I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. It's a good life living for the Lord. And if you haven't discovered that, you need to start living for Him today and discover the good life living for the Lord. Well, we've gone through the life of Christ. We've discussed His crucifixion now, and we can't leave Him hanging on that cross or in the grave. We know that He was crucified and He was buried. Well, today we want to look at the resurrected Savior. In 1 Corinthians 15:21, it says, "For since by one man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Acts 4:33 says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great grace was upon them all." John 11:25, "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Where can people really look if they want to see the love of God? And there is a historical event that demonstrates and proves that God is a God of love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Jesus died for this lost and dying world, lost in sin. This demonstrates the love of God, that He gave His only begotten Son, and that Jesus gave Himself to die for you and I. Well, where can people really look if they want to see the power of God? And there is a great historical event that demonstrates and proves that God is a God of power. Romans 1:4 says, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." Ephesians 1:19 and 20 says this, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places." Philippians 3:10 says, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." When God wants to demonstrate His grace and mercy, He points to one specific individual. Ephesians 2:7 says this, "That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ." There's only one way of salvation, and that is through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can also read 1 Timothy 1:14 and 15 in connection with this about the grace of our Lord. Well, Christianity is based upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Christ from the dead is mentioned at least 104 times in the New Testament. You won't read about Buddha. You won't read about Confucius. You won't read about Mohammed. You won't read about any other so-called prophet resurrecting from the dead. Jesus is the only one. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Savior. 104 times in the New Testament, the resurrection is mentioned. Now, without the resurrection, there would be no gospel, no salvation, no Christianity, and no message of hope for mankind. 1 Corinthians 15:1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Listen now, this is the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He fulfilled every prophecy of the Bible concerning His resurrection, His death, burial, and resurrection. As Christians, we must not only believe in the resurrection, we should also know why we believe. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Our faith is not a blind faith. Our faith is founded upon facts. And the greatest fact of all is that God raised up Jesus. Acts 5:30 says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. If the enemies of the gospel can destroy this fact, then they have destroyed the basis for our faith. Suppose an atheist or a skeptic wished to destroy the Christian faith. Let him prove that Christ never rose from the dead. When that's done, he has destroyed Christianity. His work is done. But good news, Christ did rise from the dead. We know that. We accept what God says in His holy word. For by faith are you saved. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's look for a moment at the claims of Christ. Suppose a religious or political leader living today began to make the following announcement over the radio. I want you all to know that when I go to London, this is this man or this supposed person speaking now, when I go to London, my enemies will murder me. My body will be buried, but in less than a week's time, I will be raised from the dead and hundreds of people will see me alive. What an extraordinary prediction coming from the lips of any man. In our study of the life of Christ, we've studied some of the remarkable claims of Christ, and we learned that Jesus clearly claimed to be the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Well, back from the dead? Jesus made yet another amazing claim. Not only was He the Messiah, the Son of the living God, but that He would rise again from the dead. In Matthew 16:21, He said, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Jesus made that prediction. Jesus not only told His disciples He would rise, His enemies also knew about this claim as well. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 through 64, it says, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. Listen to this. So the last error shall be worse than the first. One Bible scholar has said this, the last error shall be worse than the first. Speaking of that, that is the last deception, or taking him from the tomb, pretending that he rose, shall have a wider influence among the people than the first, or his pretending to be the Messiah. It's one thing to claim to be the Messiah, they said, but it's another thing to rise from the dead, and we don't want anybody to think that happened. But thank God it did happen. If the resurrection was a hoax, if Jesus never really rose from the dead, then we would have to say that Jesus was a deceiver. Matthew 27:63 says, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Well, Jesus really did rise again from the dead, as he said. Matthew 28:6 says, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. In Luke 24:40-46, it says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me, Jesus speaking. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus came out of that grave. Something happened here, and consider Peter. He cowardly denied Christ three times, according to Luke 22, 54 through 62. But 53 days later, he boldly proclaimed and confessed Christ before thousands. In Acts chapter 2, and see especially verses 22 through 24, 36, and 40 through 41, not even imprisonments and terrible threatenings by the Jewish leaders could silence this fearless preacher who had once denied Christ three times before he was crucified. Something happened. James, the Lord's half-brother, the son of Mary and Joseph, did not believe in Christ, according to John 7, 5, but later he became the leader of the great church at Jerusalem, according to Acts chapter 12, chapter 15, and chapter 21 of Acts. Something happened. Doubting Thomas refused to believe in the resurrection unless he could actually see and touch the risen Christ, according to John 24 through 25. Tradition tells us that Thomas later became a great missionary to Persia or India. John chapter 20, verses 26 through 29. Something happened. Saul was one of the greatest enemies of the church. But we know on that road to Damascus that he wonderfully got saved. He was Saul and he became Paul, a preacher of the gospel. Something happened. He got saved. He realized that Jesus Christ was the risen Savior. He saw Him. The 11 disciples at the time of the arrest of Christ ran like scared rabbits. The gospel they would later preach was that Christ rose from the dead, according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Something happened. They knew that He had risen from the grave. All of these witnesses saw Him. They knew that He had been resurrected from the dead. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive You as my Lord and my Savior right now. If you've never done that, you need to do that. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus took your sin as He hung on that cross. He took your sin if you will accept that. He does not force this on anyone. The Bible clearly states and clearly is evident, it's evident there, that Jesus died for man. He died for you and I, that we could know Him and go to heaven one day, because He not only died, He rose from the grave. Trust Him today. Ask Him to come in to your heart. If you do know Him and you're not living for Him, you need to be living for Him. He died for you. He saved you. And you're on your way to heaven because of Him. Let Him lead you today. Well, next week we'll continue our study in the life of Christ and we'll continue about the resurrected Savior. Look at our website today, lrwm.org. lrwm.org. You can download a transcript of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. Well, until the next time when you hear me say It's a Good Life, may the Lord bless you richly is my prayer.
Given me much more. Jesus, I have the happiness that I was looking for.